God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. In this season of vacations, I think many count the days dreaming of some rest and fun. I know I am as I near August and my vacation. And I'm reminded of something I heard once about a boy coming home from church one Sunday with his mom. And he said, "Mommy, why does the pastor get a month's vacation in the summer when Daddy gets only 2 weeks?" "Well, son," answered Mommy, "if he's a good minister, he needs it. If he isn't, the congregation needs it." Now, I'm not going to ask you whether you're counting the days to my vacation. We'll leave that one alone. All this to say that it is in the realization that summer is basically half over already. We all have this gospel passage this Sunday. And it always reminds me of Compline. How many of you know Compline or know what I'm talking about when I say the word Compline? All right, that's good. Of our daily offices, the services we do privately or corporately contained in our Book of Common Prayer, that's that thing with the cross on it in your pews. Bless you, David. It's drawn from the monastic offices, the ones that, you know, monks and nuns do. And we do have monks and nuns in the Episcopal Church, if you didn't know that. And we do it sometimes at the close of our vestry meetings. We do it on Wednesday nights, and diocesan council meetings close with it too. It's the one that's done just before retiring to bed. It's a short contemplative worship that includes the prayer many hold dear, and you probably will recognize this. It begins, "Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep." You all heard that prayer before? That's from Compline. And in Compline, after the psalm, there are a few short passages of scripture available to read or say. And my favorite is from our gospel today. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I can't think of anything more soothing to consider when heading for bed for the night. Can you? And I think there's a reason that many of us remember this verse so well. You all have heard that verse before, right? I think it's because we're really tired. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder where the days go. There just never seems to be enough hours in the day, right? Maybe you've already heard this story, but there's a story about a man who was having to take work home every evening. I wonder if that sounds familiar. So much so, in fact, that he was physically present, but he wasn't really present with his wife and his kids. And one night before going to bed, his young sons asked his mom — there's a lot of kids asking their mothers questions, right? — "Why does Daddy bring work home every night so he can't play?" And his mom said, "Well, it's because his dad was behind in work at the office." And the little boy replied, "Well, why don't they just put him in a slower group?" Sometimes I want to be put in a slower group. Don't you? I do. And so the idea of Jesus or anyone calling for us to rest is appealing. Except that isn't what he's really saying. Not entirely, anyway. I mean, this is Jesus, right? And we have learned that just when we think we know what he's saying, we need to rethink it. This isn't an invitation from Jesus to kick up your feet and do nothing. There is a lot more going on here than that, and it starts earlier in the passage. Jesus is commenting on the burdens of ministry that folks have, sort of what one commentator called the Goldilocks syndrome. John the Baptist, people thought, were too austere, and Jesus too loose. And people want something, seem to need something, especially when it comes to faith. But it has to be the perfect something and meet all their expectations for how things should go. God forbid it doesn't. Jesus says, well, in my version anyway, because you know I like to rewrite the versions here. This is what Jesus was saying. "Look, y'all, don't be discouraged. Heck, they ridiculed John for being crazy and way too difficult to follow. I mean, I think it might have been the locust eating thing, or maybe wearing camel hair. You can't blame them. But anyway, you'd think then they'd like me, right? But no. They just complain that I drink wine and hang out with all the people they don't like. They think I'm too much of a party guy. I like to have fun. But that's beside the point. Look, you can't please everybody, or you won't do anything worth your time or God's. Jesus was lamenting our basic human nature to complain. I imagine there's quite a few of my colleagues who can really relate when it comes to those who choose the church and those who leave a church. But the reality is, as you well know, this ministry life, this life in Christ, isn't just for folks in dog collars. Which, by the way, somebody bought my dog, Lexi, the church dog, a white collar so she could wear it to Sunday church and look just like me. But it's not just for us in the proverbial dog collars. It's what all of us are called to do. And Jesus is telling his disciples, and now all of us, that it won't be a walk in the park all the time. Then he begins to speak about burdens, rests, and yokes. Before we go back to that, I just want to point out something. Now, as you know, each week there's a picture on the bulletin that's tied to the lectionary, our readings, and it's there as a form of visio divina, or divine seeing. And the idea is that you'll take this home and allow it to help you re-enter the scriptures again during the week. Now, if you're listening to this sermon later via our podcast, you can download the bulletin off our website. If you look at it, go ahead, you can pull your bulletins out, look at the front of the cover. It's an old farming yoke. In the days before modern tractors, and still in use around the world where motorized farm equipment is merely a dream, two oxen or other animal would be fitted into those two circles to pull the loads. And yes, sometimes a single yoke would be put on a lone animal, but this yoke was far more common. And certainly more in line with what Jesus was talking about. So back to that moment, that iconic verse. Listen carefully to it. After laying out how difficult this life of discipleship is, Jesus tells them, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Good so far, right? I mean, I can already feel the nap on the sofa coming already, right? I'm looking forward to it. But wait. He isn't done. He then says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Wait, what? Jesus didn't say, "Take off your yoke and follow me, all will be easy." He said his yoke would be easy, the burden light. We'll still be yoked. So why is that any better? Look again at the picture. There's the traditional two-headed yoke. We are in one, but there's still another one. That's the very image of the yoke of Christ. We don't do this discipleship stuff alone. Jesus walks alongside us, and the Holy Spirit guides us, all partnering to do the work of God. And that, my friends, makes the work easier and lighter. To be sure, I'll be the first to tell you that this ministry life isn't easy. One of the things we forget about the imagery of clerical vestments is that the collar and the stole are symbols of that very yoke. These are symbols of being yoked to Christ. And I have to say there's many a day when the yoke I wear seems ill-suited for me, when I don't feel like I'm pulling my weight, not measuring up as I think God would hope. It's at those times when I try to remember this quote. The branch does not need to get up every morning and say to itself, "I must work hard or there will be no grapes." The branch's power comes from staying connected to the vine. In the same way, God gives us spiritual growth as a gift through the power of the Holy Spirit as we connect and stay connected with Christ. It's also at those times when things just seem to come to me. An email, a phone call, a pastoral visit, whatever it might be, these little gifts of grace from folks are truly gifts of God that lift me up and remind me that while I will never be the perfect priest, I am the one God called and she will be with me. I don't do this stuff alone. And perhaps you've experienced this too. things that happen to you that are just what you needed. Little bits of grace that give you strength, courage, or solace. God is speaking to you, to me, reminding us that we walk with Christ always. We never, ever carry our burden alone. And there's another thing about a yoke we need to remember. It must be two equal animals yoked together. Otherwise, they go in a circle, right? The stronger one pulling ahead of the weaker one. We're partners with the Jesus who works with us in a way that enables us to do the work we're called to do rather than spinning in circles, unless, of course, that's what we're called to do, spinning in circles. We might be. And the reality is being yoked is all about relationship. We're in a deep and abiding partnership with Christ as we go from here into the world, living the life we're called to live. That is what makes the burdens easier to bear. It does not take them away. If only it would. That's why the first part of this passage is as important for us today as the last part. We live in a world where we want things to be formed to our expectations, even God. Or at least how we engage with God, especially how this faith stuff should work. But Jesus is countering the expectation culture with something far more profound. God doesn't happen to you. God is with you. This discipleship thing, this living fully into the presence of God, it isn't something that's done to you or you do alone or that can be put in some sort of framework of how you think it ought to go. This is something far greater than that and far more meaningful because of it. It's the difference between watching something happen and participating in it. Or perhaps looking at a glass of water, deciding it to be half full or half empty, rather than the fully engaged act of picking it up and drinking it. Jesus is telling us that to be true to ourselves in this world, we cannot try to fit God to us, but we must partner with the God that is with us all the time. A Taoist story tells of an old man who accidentally fell into the river rapids, leading to a high and dangerous waterfall. Onlookers feared for his life, and miraculously, he came out alive, unharmed, downstream at the bottom of the falls. And people asked him how he managed to survive. And he said, "I accommodated myself to the water, not the water to me. Without thinking, I allowed myself to be shaped by it. Plunging into the swirl, I came out with the swirl. This is how I survive." Jesus is telling his disciples, telling us that we need to be the swirl, or we will be swallowed up even while swimming in the shallow end of the waters. Rather than telling us to play it safe on the shore, he's inviting us to go deeper, to drop our yoke of earthly expectations and control that we carry all by ourselves and pick up the yoke of authenticity, of truth, of love that we carry with him. To abide with him, in him, that he might abide in us and work through us. Jesus is giving us a new picture of God. The one that is yoked with us, the one that helps us in our work, walks alongside us in our darkest night, helps us to carry our burdens. And this, my friends, is sometimes the message we don't want to hear. We very often want God to be the one to just fix it all. Fix the broken world. Fix our own brokenness. That's part of the expectation game we play. It isn't real. It is holding us back. I was listening to the NPR show, On Being. Anybody listen to that? It's on Sunday mornings. And the host, Krista Tippett, was interviewing Ramona Estevez, otherwise known as Martin Sheen, the famous actor, who has had another lesser-known life as a spiritual seeker and activist. He returned to a deep and joyful Catholic faith after a crisis at the height of his fame in midlife. He's been arrested over 60 times in vigils and protests. If you don't know him, if you watched The West Wing, he was President Bartlet. Apocalypse Now, go Google him. During the interview, he brought up the subject of prayer. And he said, "Most of us will pray when we're in the form of crisis, or we want something, or we feel we need something." I saw an interesting thing the other day in the paper. Somebody was asked where God was when 9/11 happened. Well, my response to that would have been that God was in the towers. God was present to each individual going through that horrible, facing their own death individually and with the community. That God is present in our deepest hungers, in our worst times, as well as our best. Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There's so much going on in the world today, so much need. I sometimes feel it's all I preach about. Maybe you do too. And there's so many who are laboring against injustice, oppression, and indifference of our world to the plight of God's children in our earthly home. That work, my friends, is the work of yoke of Christ, and yet even still it can make anyone feel tired, worn, and frustrated from time to time. And on a personal level, most of us, I think, have had wonderful things happen in our life. I hope so anyway. Love, marriage, birth, success, and terrible things too. Divorce, death, loss of home, loss of job. The difference, what sustains us in the darker times, in our weariness, is that this yoke we bear, we do not bear alone. Ours is a life of relationship with God. Working beside us is Jesus, the Jesus that meets us where we are, in the poor, the neglected, the outcast, the stranger, in our greatest joys and our deepest sorrows. And guiding us is the Holy Spirit. Jesus never meant to say to anyone that being his follower meant rest. Far from it. He wanted us to know that God will be our partner in our life, sharing our joys and pains, our hopes and disappointments, all of it. God doesn't take these burdens away, but helps us to bear them, to move through them, to carry them when we think we can't possibly do it anymore. But wait, there's more. There always is with Jesus. Now, in the teaser to the NPR show, Martin Sheen said, piety is something you do alone. True freedom, spirituality, can only be achieved in community. Here, we are given the rest from our labors. Here in community, here in the Eucharist. That's why being part of a church is so important. As the body of Christ, we are both receivers of the rest he gives and the ones offering it to one another. That's what we offer to one another at the peace. The peace is not coffee hour. It's when we look into the eyes of our brother and sister and let them know that you see them, really see them, and blessing them with the peace of Christ. Here, together, we offer one another a respite from our ministry, a place of comfort in relationship with one another through Christ. This is not a come once a month sort of thing, drop in, grab a moment, leave. It's far more important than that if it is to mean something. Because the thing about all this is God's partnership with us and our partnership with one another as the body of Christ is that it is like any relationship. Relationship building is a process which takes time. When that time is given over to God and one another, we are able to be vulnerable, to rest, and to love. And the relationship grows, and we grow stronger. So invite you all into relationship here with Christ and one another. You need it. If you are ever to bear the yoke of God's love from this place into this broken world, you need it if only to lighten the load of your own brokenness. So come. Come and take rest. Rest for your souls. Amen.